Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Ephesians. From the first chapter, we'll read verses 1 through 14. In the New King James Pew Bible, we're on page 1661. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servant's lesson. Amen. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of God's glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Jerry the Magician performed at the MCA Kiwanis Action Club. He used some members as assistants, and Scott assisted him with one of the tricks. Jerry handed Scott a gold coin, and Jerry released the clasp, and he opened a small black bag and showed us that it was empty, and he asked Scott to make a wish. Now, Scott's a sports guy, so I'm thinking that he's going to wish for Alabama's football team to win a national championship. Scott, however, is seasonal. He later said that he was thinking more along the lines of wishing for the Braves to catch the Phillies in baseball. He might should have made that wish. Scott hesitated, probably wondering if he's supposed to say his wish out loud, because, you know, haven't we been told, now, don't tell anyone your wish or it won't come true. But out of one side of his mouth, Jerry whispered, "Wish for more coins." So Scott played along, saying, "I wish for more coins." Jerry's magic word is not hocus pocus or abracadabra, something like woogly woogly. So Jerry had Scott to wave a magic wand over the bag as we said woogly woogly and wish for more coins. Jerry opened the bag and voila, it had more coins. Wish for more coins. Don't we always think we need just a little more? At the peak of his wealth in the early 1900s, John D. Rockefeller owned 90% of all oil and gas industries. His personal wealth was anywhere from 1 to 3% of the U.S. economy. A reporter asked, "How much money is enough?" Rockefeller replied, "Just a little bit more." Just a little bit more. Always thinking we need a little more. The Apostle Paul asserts that is not true when it comes to the riches of our God. He writes in verse 3, "Blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Every spiritual blessing. We lack nothing. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, is writing to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. The word apostle means messenger, and it served as an official title for Paul and the 12 disciples. They were chosen by God to lay the foundation for the church by preaching, teaching, writing, and sometimes being God's agent for miracles. The Life Application Study Bible notes that Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is a port city on the Aegean Sea in Asia Minor, which is now the country of Turkey. In his commentary, John MacArthur notes that it's likely that the gospel was first brought to Ephesus by Priscilla and Aquila. They were an exceptionally gifted couple who worked with Paul in tent making and also spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. It is thought that Paul left them there on his second missionary journey. On his third missionary journey, Paul returned and he served as their pastor for 3 years. After Paul left Ephesus, he dispatched his partner in ministry, Timothy, who served for a year and a half. So Paul wrote this letter to the faithful at Ephesus, those he knew well, around the year AD 60. Paul had been sent to Rome as a prisoner. During his imprisonment, Paul was allowed to receive visitors and to send letters. By this time, Paul would have been a follower and apostle of Jesus Christ for about 30 years. Ephesus is a letter of encouragement and admonition to remind believers of the immeasurable blessings in Jesus Christ, and to not only be thankful for those blessings, but to live in a manner that's worthy of them. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." In her book, Knowing Who We Are, Lacey C. Warner mentions an acrostic that she learned in Sunday school. Maybe you did too, or perhaps you have heard it elsewhere. Now, of course, an acrostic is when the first letter of a series of words forms a word. It's often an easy word to remember, and it helps us to remember an important idea or concept. The word is grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, that undeserved, unmerited mercy and favor of God. We've all sinned. We've all failed to do God's will. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all deserve eternal condemnation from God. We all deserve separation from God. Yet, according to the good pleasure of God's will, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. It might be one thing if God kind of sighed and begrudgingly moaned, "Well, I created them, I guess I have to save them." No, God doesn't have to do anything. Instead, it's God's good pleasure to save us. It wasn't an afterthought, or God wasn't forced into it after humanity sinned. Scripture says here, before the foundation of the world, God wanted us to be holy and without blame before Him in love. So God predestined or predecided us to adoption by Jesus Christ. It is God's good pleasure, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Amazing, God is pleased to do it. The mystery of God's will, it's not a secret that we have to try to figure out, nor is it a plan that God was intentionally keeping a secret for centuries. God was leading toward it through creation and God's people, sometimes through kings or servants, through prophets or prophetesses, through priests, scribes, mothers and fathers. The world could not fully understand until Christ rose from the dead. God's purpose in sending Christ was to unite Jews and Gentiles in one body as Christ as the head. Many people still do not understand God's plan, but at the right time, God will bring us together to be with Him forever. Then everyone will understand. On that day, all people will bow to Jesus as Lord. They'll either do it because they love Him or because they fear His power. God's purpose is to offer salvation to the world. Referring again to Lacey Warner's book, Knowing Who We Are, in which she reflects on the meaning of salvation through a framework of John Wesley. She writes, "While salvation from God in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit does include afterlife, it includes resurrection of the body, and it includes a reuniting with the communion of saints, those dimensions only scratch the surface of a scriptural understanding of salvation. Salvation is much more than eternal rest in heaven." The term salvation in Scripture is translated from the Greek term sozo, which envisions wholeness. All of creation will be redeemed. Grace is God's presence to create, to heal, to forgive, to reconcile, and transform human hearts and creation. God forgives all. God's grace is for all. It is ours to receive. God offers salvation to all, yet gives us the choice to receive or to refuse. The Apostle Paul writes to the believers at Ephesus, "In Jesus Christ you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance." The sealing of which God refers to, it's like an official mark or identification. It would be placed on a letter or a contract or other document. The document was thereby officially under the authority of the person whose stamp was on the seal. The Holy Spirit is God's seal. It's on our minds and our hearts. God's Holy Spirit assures us that God is with us, and God guarantees God's promises. Oh, the riches of God's grace with every spiritual blessing. So God's rich grace, let's look at some of the things that it gives us. Gives us forgiveness of sins. There's no sin which we might commit which God cannot forgive, nor any sin which God will not choose to forget. Isaiah 43:25, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions, and I will not remember your sins." So God's rich grace gives us forgiveness of sins, and it also gives us redemption by the blood of Jesus. The word redeem means to buy back. It's to free from what distresses or harms. And though it's not always evident to some, the true distress of humanity is our bondage to sin and to death, our separation from God. In Old Testament times, redemption was the price that was paid to gain freedom for a slave, and then the forgiveness was granted on the basis of the shedding of animals' blood. So Jesus died as the perfect final sacrifice that we might be forgiven and released from our bondage that we have from slavery to sin, which is death. So God's rich grace gives us forgiveness of sins, it gives us redemption, and it also gives us an inheritance. As adopted children of God through Christ, we are joint heirs with Christ. All the spiritual blessings and heavenly places are ours. Forgiveness of sins, redemption, inheritance, and the Holy Spirit guarantee. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that we belong to God, and God will do what has been promised. The Holy Spirit is like a down payment, a deposit, a validating signature on the contract. The power of the Holy Spirit, it works in us to transform us now, and what we experience now is just a taste of the total change that we will experience in eternity. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey writes, "Simone Weil's life flamed like a bright candle before she died at the age of 33. She was a French intellect. She chose to work on farms and in factories to identify with the working class. When Hitler's armies rolled into France, she escaped to join the Free French in London, and there she died. As her only legacy, this Jew who followed Christ left in scattered notes and journals a dense record of her pilgrimage toward God." Will concluded that there's two great forces ruling the universe. There's gravity and grace. Gravity causes one body to attract other bodies, so it continually enlarges by absorbing more and more of the universe. Something like this force operates in human beings. We want to expand, to acquire, to swell in significance. We desire to be as gods. Grace is the only exception against the pull of gravity. About the same time, another refugee from the Nazis, Karl Barth, made the comment that Jesus' gift, the forgiveness, the grace, was to him more astonishing than Jesus' miracles. Miracles broke the physical law of the universe. Forgiveness breaks the moral laws. The beginning of good is perceived in the midst of bad. The simplicity and the comprehensiveness of grace, who shall measure it? We don't need to wish for more. God has granted us every spiritual blessing and all the riches of grace that we need. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for every spiritual blessing and the riches of your grace. Grant us the faith to receive and the faithfulness to praise you always. Amen.